Major Plowman, really late. I think you were saying the first regimental commander made representations to the War Office.
This regiment should be given some good vehicles to drive with, because they had a lot of personnel with above average technical experience. And they were of a high caliber. He was a whether he was a retired regular officer, I think, was having quite a few contacts. But that was the case. There were a lot of men who worked for Rolls-Royce. There were a lot of mechanically minded people in the
Well, were the tanks in that part of Italy normally restricted to the roads, or could you get off? No, couldn't get off the road.
Well, you could get off there, you could get off a bit, from short distances, there was no one who was tanking country until we got north of Rome. And then the Germans abandoned it. most of the roads were.
What were the main hazards then off the road? Was it gradient, or was it rough surface, or?
Yes, rough surface, rocky. Yeah. You can see them throw a track. Mountain sides, or you have a shale. And boggy valleys.
It all sounds very unsuitable.
Yeah.
So you were in the forward camp. You'd done some training. How long did that go on before you started moving forward?
We made our approach march to proceed on the 11th of May. In the meantime, parties of officers went up to view the terrain from Monte Trocchia, where you could see up the village there, see the marsh, what was left of it. And another one went up, the parish was deep coming back, and the group was coming back, and driving on my side was taking that example. And one immediately thought he was a big general Montgomery, and he would have been a lot more faster there. We admired him tremendously, of course.
Was that the first time you'd seen him?
Yes, the first time I had him. The regiment had been on the victory parade at Tunis. And he'd been to the regiment, he visited the regiment at Alouche, and the commanding officer was taking him behind and said, "General, my RSM. How is it, Walter? Hello, Robin, how are you?" And said Alexander, apparently they'd run for the army in 1911.
The pair of them?
Yeah. Both guardsmen. I visited Corporal Nolan last week. Oh, he apparently he was another of these runners, the athletes.
How had Robbo got into the Derbyshire Yeomanry if he'd originally been a...
Well, he's permanent staff.
Yes.
And he was getting on, and after Tunisian Cup, well, not after Tunisian Cup, but he didn't come to Italy, he went home to Italy. The regiment, discipline in the regiment, very good, and he was excellent.
What could you actually see from Monte Coggio once you got up onto it?
You can see much about the terrain, and see up the Mirror Tower. You can understand how this, as it struck me at the time, God would say, shape. Here, on the side, there were a range of mountains, Mount Monte Carlo at the back, covered in snow, top covered in snow. And then you looked up the Mirror Tower, about 6 or 8 miles across, and of course, an oak tree could be up far from any kind of wonderful view there. It really helped from Monte Carlo.
Yes.
That's really all we could see. I mean, we could see this inviting way up north, up the Lower Valley. When I was there, there wasn't a lot of fire going on, but it was a situation where anything moved, it immediately got through artillery fire.
From that viewpoint, could you see our forward positions? What about the monastery?
We knew we had to go.
Yeah. What about the monastery? What was
in my mind, I was more clear of the shape of the hill itself.
Yes.
On top.
You said you knew you were going to have to try and go up the Lirrwy Valley. What was the terrain of the Lirrwy Valley like? Was it suitable for swift armoured movement?
No.
It wasn't?
No. It was this Route 6 over there, basically. It's a road, and a base. We got that all right, but to its left was all this close orchard country and little fields and sunken roads and hedges. Very difficult.
You could see that from your viewpoint?
I'm not sure if I could find that way. Just the general position I looked at. There was so much to look at, to take in now to the other mountains on the other side, and the French resort way. They wanted to be there longer than me, but I didn't get them proper. It's just the terrain.
Who was explaining it to you when you were up there on the... on the mountain?
We've been told a good deal of where we're in the camp, and we have our maps, and we have gone down, we have those certain directions. And we've got so much time, and of course, we have to be very careful not to do all the stories. Observation point, draw fire on it. It just gave my general idea of what it was all across the let it go and find out what the country was really like.
You mentioned, you know, doing your approach march. How was that done? Were you doing it tactically, or were you doing an administrative move forward?
We were out of sight.
What about the air situation? What was that like at the time?
It was a good one. We had a complete air supremacy. I think there was a little air activity with our at any time. But they are not. Blessing of air. And we realized what the Germans achieved. Never being able to move at night, because when we moved in the day, we shot out. As it went a lot north, we went north. We had to visit the roadside, to visit the people.
You mentioned that you've been, you know, you've been briefed and so forth. Who had actually done the briefing to you on what you were going to be doing and how you were going to be doing it?
Well, there would be visits from the division. But I can't really remember much about that. We were obviously adding for information, one way or another, we got it. There was nothing really could prepare well for the actual thing. From the time came when we set forth, and in the first year, the day we started, we were moving up on the third day. Whole day of Friday they would be waiting.
Where were you waiting? Do you remember where it was that you were waiting to go forward?
No, I haven't got the maps now. But I think we were in the area of Castle St. Angelo. Of course, the night of the 13th that we crossed.
Does that mean you crossed the Rapido on that night? How did you get across? And you were moving up at night?
Yes.
How did you organise that to manage to keep yourselves in formation? Had you seen them before?
No. No, they had been in North Africa. And they had they were really on the boundary to the 4th position and 18th.
What were you going to do? What were your orders at that point as you were moving forward?
The most exciting division that we were in until the division were employed somewhere.
Yes.
First guys division in the casino town. And we, 26 Armed Brigade, and ourselves were under command 78 div.
Yes.
And 78 did pass through the sorting divisions, 4th position and 8th. And we were part of an Army Reconnaissance group, Army Reconnaissance regimental group, and the command of that was given to our commanding officer, Colonel Pangborn. And we were on the left flank, and we were told to reconfigure from kind of start line, which was a mile or two over the river. And I was in reserve, as was another troop, and even though the troop leader was me. And I thought I'd ask this I could see he wasn't interested. And I couldn't get anything about it. And I really don't remember much about that day, except that one of the other troop leaders was injured. Had to go home. Moon in the blended that had to go home. And to begin to have a great touch. But the following day I was put in the lead.
Was this in lead of the squadron?
Yes, it's true. So we had 5 troops.
Yes.
And there were 3 up.
And 2 back. Yes. So day 2, you were leading troop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What sort of ground were you going over?
Sunk and flat. All the teams that had been hired. They built up little banks with hedges on. And all the fields were popping out the shell. I mean, it was just like the first one of the morning. And we passed through a lot of dead Indians. Which is really what I felt. That was not, and I don't forget that because the chaps, it was really a bad war. And those clocks were very close together. And they were really a bit now. And I remember telling them, I think it looked a bit too warm. I did a foot patrol in my own hands, along a cycle track. And people could hear the back, and they were getting fired at.
Was that the first time you'd come under fire?
Yeah.
And you were out of your vehicle?
Yeah. Right.
Why did you decide to go forward on foot rather than moving forward with your tank?
I had that feeling it was better to do I'd seen more if I went on foot than if I went forward and got knocked out. And 10 to 1, and the tank guns were waiting, being on the spot where you'd get merged in the central track.
Were you, how far, I mean, what were your orders? Were you supposed to push forward as far as possible, as fast as possible? Yes. You had tactical bounds set out for you. And did you have good maps so that you could recognise the...
We had maps.
Yes.
Well, I know one of my comrades made a map of everything. They weren't easy. They weren't as good as the British maps that you carry.
But, I mean, were you advancing on a single axis, your troop? Yeah. So you'd have been advancing line ahead with your honey and then the two Shermans. Okay, so you decided to go on a foot patrol. Did you go on your own, or did you take someone with you? So you got out of your vehicle and you went. How far forward did you go on this foot patrol? And what did you find?
Well, we found that there was a little bit of an air of strength. And we went back to my tank. I really can't remember what happened after what my orders were.
Now you were saying you were worried that there might be an anti-tank gun lined up on the spot where the sunken road emerged. Well, when you came under fire, what sort of fire was it? Was it machine gun? And did you get in?
That was coming from the side.
Yes.
There's a bank. We're able to crouch underneath the points where it wasn't such a good shield as others. But there were all these corpses. Then obviously the hunger above on the field.
Yes. And do you think they had been caught in enfilade from the left?
I can't remember much about the rest of that day or what we did. The following day we were arrested with the squad.
Yes.
And that was a very difficult day. My own squad. And then most of the people just get rid of the sniper. There were orders from the division that this strong point was to take the enemy across. The German went and took over command of the squadron and led a charge. And they did destroy the strong point. There were quite a few casualties.
Do you know what sort of strength the enemy were at that strong point?
Do I know what the strength was?
Yes, of the Germans in that.
There were a lot of chaps of bazookas, so it's a very close country. I think not a tank was bazooka. And of course, as soon as he went out into a more open country, it would be covered by anti tank. And then the masters of defense, so every yard is there as possible. It was a war of attrition. We just made 1,000 yards a day, a mile a day.
How was that done? Was that done by the infantry and artillery attacking? Or were you trying to find your way forward?
I think know where the army would leave, and then they'd run into trouble, and then they'd be able to call it up to the crowd.
How far forward could you see, you know, on that first day when you were worried about
that?
Yeah.
200 yards, I think,
something like that. Mm. What did you do overnight when you were engaged in this movement forward?
Get back on the centre line, and there would be a guy that comes to the observation, and another scout come up and direct us to where we were to harbour for the night. Then we immediately start to load up with ammunition and the earth, and then we have a meal.
How did you arrange your feeding? Did you feed by vehicles or?
Yes, so the troops are involved. The ROTs would be responsible for issuing the rations to them. And then this could be clearly cooked. That was heating up and then going to. Quite interesting, these 14 minutes. I can't remember what they did. There again, it was an American thing. It was quite different from everything that had been conceived in the British Army. Much more imaginative.
So you'd had one day when you were in reserve, then a day when you were leading and you'd done your foot patrol, then the squadron was rested for a day. What happened after that? Did you go back into the front line?
During that day, I had to just to serve Sergeant Bowe, who became Sergeant Bowe, Colonel Bowe,
yes,
detail to take the army out of the camp of Peterborough and go away to various units and some unit commanders in the group would have sent the plan to give them orders.
So I was going to ask you who else was in the regimental group besides the yeomanry. Could you deal directly with the RHA if you got into trouble going forward? Could you call them up yourself?
Yeah.
If you were in need of emergency support, how long would it take for it to start arriving?
Let's talk about that when I get on to the next day.
Yes. Sorry, you said you took the colonel to...
Anyway, he went...
Yeah.
We held this order by the man of Sherman, the man of Sherman. And then the man of the Zero General Service was standing there with his map place. Basically, the end of the day was bristled. Shells coming down. And all the order group said one would go flat on their faces. And the colonel was late for them to get up and carry on within his orders, you see. And this happened about 3 down. And the way that was, and then just the coup, so cool on the fire. Quite incredible. Anyway, and then again to